Just remain standing. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we're so grateful this morning how you've made a day of rest and a day of worship, how you've ordained the church and for us to come together to worship you. And Lord, today we're here with intentions to be refreshed, to be edified, to be encouraged. And Lord, we even see this as a day of salvation. So Lord, if there is something that needs restoration in our hearts and in our minds, we invite you to do the work that you would like to do today. We ask that the Word of God will become alive. And through your Spirit, there will be redemption. And through your Spirit, you will guide this service. We commit it into your hands. We pray in the worthy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome to all of you. Maybe I should say a few home folks, and welcome to all the visitors. It's nice to see you, Caleb. Haven't seen you in a while. But it sure is a blessing to gather together in the name of our Lord and Savior, the one who we've been singing about. But today is a day that we're planning to reflect in the Scriptures, and we will attempt to look into the mirror and to see what God has for me and what God has for you. Unless we leave here with something, unless we get fed, edified, and encouraged, we've wasted our time. So maybe I'm slightly nervous this morning because I have a lot of thoughts and I'm not sure how they're all going to come out and work together. But if you pray for me and we pray for each other, the burden that God has laid on my heart can be revealed. And maybe this morning we're having kind of a two-part message. I would like to have those that have been on the staff in the Bible school, when I invite you up, I would like you to share. Or for those of you that would like to share, I'll call you up. But I have a few scriptures I would like to look at first. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, and you can just listen to this, 1 Timothy 6, 5 and 6, earthly gain is not godliness, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And then in verse 18 and 19, it says that we should be rich in good works, willing to communicate. Maybe I'll read those. That they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So this past week, or last week, quite a few of us had the opportunity to go to the city and to bring children in and to have a one-week Bible school. So I sort of see it as those that participated were willing to communicate. They were willing to sacrifice earthly gain, to take off from work and to go there and to teach these young children. So maybe at this point, everyone that was on staff, you can come on up and kind of share what God did in your heart and what your experience was. And not everyone has to share, and we're not planning to sing a song, but just come up and tell me a little bit about your experience that you had last week. And maybe to lay a little foundation is we brought in 80 to 90 children every evening. And we had like five different classes. And that was every evening for eight nights. So, I don't know who's first. You're first.
Well, good morning, everybody. been blessed this morning already. Just some of the songs and what Jason shared was very inspiring to me. Akron Bible School, I really, really loved it, enjoyed it. Just all the children and their anticipation and just teaching them and doing activities with them and seeing their reaction and just working with them in that way. Just listening, sitting back and listening to their conversation, and you learn a lot about their life and some things. And a lot of them in my class did not have very good home situations, which really spoke to me. Different of them, their parents weren't together anymore, and they had like 4 different places that they would trade around with, and just seeing kind of what that can do to somebody. And I was really moved by the children, and it did a lot for me in my life. And I guess throughout the time they're teaching them and them teaching me, some of these verses stuck out to me. It says, there, Matthew 9, 36, 37, 38 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, and because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd, and said unto his disciples, The harvest truly is ready, is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest." I guess that's kind of where I found myself, just moved to compassion on those children, and just felt very privileged that I could try to show them Christ. And also another area here, in Luke, verses I read this morning. Let's see here. Luke 24:47-48 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then it goes on and says, and it says, and ye are witnesses of these things. So we are servants of God, sons of God, witnesses of God and the work that he has done for us. And we're supposed to go and teach nations, different cultures and people, even amongst ourselves. And it just really spoke to me, and it was a great time. I would really be excited to see something continue to happen there and move forward. And I think it's good that we should pray for wisdom, just to know what to do and how to reach in there to the lives of those children. And we should pray for the work there, pray about the church building deeper, and consider that, what should be done there. And just pray that God would help us understand how to further the work there. We can change the world with God, but it starts by just planting those seeds in those children and in the younger generation, as well as, just you don't have a harvest if you didn't sow seeds. And, I was challenged, and just throughout the time there, did a lot in my life, and was very grateful to be a part of that.
I really enjoyed my week at Bible school. We had a really good week. I wasn't sure what to expect coming into the week because I wasn't sure would we have 20 people or 100 people. We had no idea. But Jason has a lot of connections down there, and we were able to have a really good turnout. So we had five or six different classes, and the class I was in was with Nathan Yoder, Josh Yoder, and David Zook, and we had a really good time. We were the 12 on up. I think our oldest one was like 22 years old or something, 12 to 18. So we had a pretty big age group, probably about 17 or 18 students every night. And I really enjoyed our class because they're kind of up in our age group, and we could relate with them good, talk with them good. And I really made some good friends with about three of them. There's three of them that I was able to get real close with. And me and the one boy, we text quite a bit, and I really love the children. They really enjoyed the time. They were an inspiration, just they're full of life, and the homes they're coming from, some of them is not good home situations, parents are messed up, and so it's just a blessing to be able to tell them about Jesus, to be a friend to them, to reach out to them. We had one boy in particular, his name was Arpan, very vocal guy, and he did a lot of the talking in our class. And we had a really good time together. I really enjoyed him. We talked together different times. And there was another boy and another girl, and those three especially I was able to connect with pretty good. And we sang a Swahili song. Josh Miller came and lead that. We sang a Nepali song. And Nathan Yoder was a very interesting, good teacher. I enjoyed being in his class. And the students, everybody loved it. And the Nepali children, they knew English really good. A lot of the Swahili children, they could hardly speak English. Some of them could, some of them couldn't, so it was harder to relate with them. But as a whole, I really enjoyed it, and I really want to do it again sometime. And I know the children loved it. So, yeah, it was a blessing.
Well, good morning. I really enjoyed the Bible school up there and working with the children. Felt like it was a real blessing for me. I don't know if the children learned just a whole lot. I know they did, but felt like for me I learned a lot more. And I just felt like it was a real blessing for me. Just working with them and seeing some of the broken homes that they came out of, and just realizing what I have makes me very thankful. And yet, there was just working with them and everything. Well, the Bible talks about how Jesus had compassion on people, and I feel like that was one aspect that just seeing their lives and everything, it just draws that out of you. And I really enjoyed it. Some of the highlights probably was one of them was the program. Just seeing how they were looking forward to it, and they just put their all into it, singing, and they really enjoyed it. And that was really good. I also think it would be good if we keep praying for them. The seeds that were planted, that those that God would give the increase, and that it would bear fruit in the future. But yeah, thanks to all that made it possible, Jason.
Yeah, I was really blessed with the Bible school up there. I wasn't able to be there every night. I was there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then again Sunday evening for the program. I really enjoyed it. I think my heart really went out to those children. I got to realize what kind of a home life that I have compared to them. What a blessing it is to be able to grow up in a Christian home. A lot of those children in our class specifically, some of them had bad home life. How will I say? I think they were searching for something more than what they were searching for. Something they were seeking. They were seeking attention. Specifically, Arpan, I think, is like Josh said, he's a very vocal guy. He wasn't afraid to speak his mind on everything. He was searching. He was searching for God. He was open. His heart was open. And all of the children in our class, their hearts were open towards God. And it really stood out to me, you know, what we have and what we have to be thankful for. As a whole, the Bible school went very well. It was the coordinators and the people getting stuff together did a very good job. Definitely a big thank you to all of them for getting everything together, organizing it. Most evenings there were between 80 to 90 children there, so it was a pretty good turnout. Especially our class, they were very attentive and open. They racing to say verses. They argued about who could say the verse. One evening I was out, ran out to my car to grab ice just as the children were coming. And this, there was some of the Nepali children. The van pulled up beside my car, they parked, and the children got out. And two of the ones in my class were arguing about the verse they were going to say, about how the verse goes. And I kind of grinned in my heart, but I was really inspired by that. Their zeal to know and to learn and to get to know the Word of God. So, it was just a blessing, and I hope it happens again. I look forward to being a part of it. It really caused me to search my heart, you know. How is my zeal for the Lord? Where am I going with it? Am I as open and honest as they are? Is my heart open? So, yeah, it was a blessing. May God bless you all.
How many of you have been to New York City on the trip? We go up there with Daniel Pollard. See, she wrote hands up all high. Been to New York City. You know that feeling, right? I'll try to be modest here, but if you take that feeling times, and again, I'll take modest number here, take that feeling times 10, and that describes Bible school. So like David Zook pointed out, there was an enthusiasm in our classroom for learning. And this experience is different than going to New York City in that everybody who was at the Bible school had a good knowledge of the scriptures, a decent knowledge of the scriptures. There was some lack, but they had a decent understanding. They wanted to be there. They wanted to learn. That's not really the case a lot of times when you're in New York City. Some of them. Few of the students did come from homes that were where there were difficulties. Had some of them ask that I would pray for specific situations in their homes. But there were also a fair number of students in our class who came from good homes. Their parents who were there together to serve the Lord and care for their children. So, you know, it wasn't all there. There are a lot of good things there. Probably one of the things that I enjoyed most, actually, I mean, I enjoyed being there and teaching, but I really enjoyed just being there with the people from church, especially the young people, and seeing them take hold and we didn't know what to expect, but I really enjoyed seeing them adjust and try to accommodate unexpected situations and dig in and figure out what we need to do and that feeling of working together, that to me was probably the biggest blessing of all. Now I will say that, you know, there's other things that are a blessing as well, as just being there and teaching the children, and I really would like to do it again. I think there's an opportunity there for us. There's a fertile soil there. There are people who want to know. There are things that we talked about that were a little stretching for some of the young people who were there. And like Josh mentioned, our class was the youngest were 12. I'd say the median was probably 13 or 14, but we had some were 16, 17, 18, and I had one young lady there, 22 years old. She remembers years ago when there would be Bible studies. I think Paul Hirschberger and who were some of the others that used to go up there? Can you? It was Paul. I forget who else. Nate Coons. Yeah. So she had really good memories of that. And so there were sometimes in our Bible studies the last week or the previous week where we would talk about something where the younger ones, they weren't so sure about it. Talking about the kingdom of God, is it opposed to the kingdoms of this world? And there was some confusion, but she, Maya, had that right on, and she remembered things that she'd heard from back then. So that was a blessing. There are several of the students that have been staying in contact. They just want me to pray, and that's, it's things like that. Things like that are the reason why I say it's 10 times better than New York City, or the experience, is because there's an opportunity for discipleship. There's an opportunity to be more involved, to see fruit. Also, I liked that it was very family friendly. We could take our families and go, and take our children, and I'd see my youngest children were up there pretty much every evening, I think. And so that was a blessing too, to just be able to go. And I know that, well, I guess, Liliana would have been in Tina Hirschberger's class, and she really enjoyed that. Gabriel was in my class, so he didn't get the treat of having a different teacher, but he seemed to enjoy it anyway. But yeah, it was a blessing. I especially want to thank Jason's and Dirk's for everything they did. They sacrificed a lot in making it work, and they were there as servants. As incredible as a teacher, if you just even breathed that you would have a necessity for something, it was there. It was there the next night. Yeah, they were very well. And Jonas Yoders, they came up there, I think, every other night, and they'd make the cotton candy. The children really enjoyed that. So it was just a blessing to see everybody work together. It was a lot of fun, but there was also a lot of, there's some good things that happened. So just wish the blessings further on the rest of the day and the fellowship here.
Yeah, I also want to share the few thoughts, taking the opportunity. Actually, I was not involved in that summer Bible school, but I have sent my two kids there. But here I want to discuss about why the summer Bible school is very important, especially for the children of Akron. And first of all, we know that we all have sinned, and everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs to have the faith and their sins being forgiven. And the people or the children who were attending the school, I would like to describe about them. They are just a little bit background. So what kind of people are they? Because I'm also from the same background. Like so many immigrants who are settled in America, in Akron, so many of them, they came from Bhutan, which is the southeast part of the Asian continent, which is between India and China. And then these people are now settled in in various parts of America, and many are in Akron. And some people who attended those Bible school were also from Africa. And then, so this America is like a new land for the immigrants. Many, many of us, we were very, very poor people. We had to live without electricity. We had to live without heat. We had to live without many difficulties and troubles. And worst of all, many of us had to live without God. And then these people, we all came to US, and then we were bombarded. We were exposed with so many things, with so many cultures. And some were already Christian back in their country, but when we came to US, we were also exposed with the westernized Christianity. What did the Western Christians look like? And then we have been exposed with so many things in US. And I hope that this summer Bible school is really needful. This is really important, as a matter of fact, to guide the immigrants, to guide them to God, to bring them to the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. And I would like, because there are so many things going on among the immigrants people. Many have been divorced, because in US, many have learned that it is easy to break the marriage. It is easy to divorce. Unlike in our country, we never had this kind of issue, but we know that it is okay to do for any reasons. So we have so many children like that whose parents are broken, who have been gone to the depressed, and also there are like a lot of troubles. Many teenagers, like the girls of 13 years, 14 years, they have become pregnant without nowhere. So many things are going on. So I'd like to stress this summer Bible school is really needful and important. And I'd like to encourage that if these things would continue to go, I think that God can do some miracles. We might not need to go very far like Africa to be a missionary. We have so many things to harvest, so many things we can reap here, we can harvest here. For the Lord Jesus said that the harvest is ready, but we need to pray for the laborers. And also next thing the Lord Jesus said, forbid not the little children from coming to me, for this is the kingdom of God. So let us pray, and I hope that everybody would support this event, these things also in the coming time. But this is really needful, for everybody need Jesus, the love of Jesus, the Jesus who died for their sins, the Jesus is the only one who can take them up to heaven. So I would like to encourage if this thing can go continue, and let us pray for this thing, that this would also continue to go henceforth. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. And thanks to all of those names that were not mentioned, but in my mind, it really doesn't matter who went. It really doesn't matter about any names. But this is what the biggest impression that was made on me this past week. Was that the Lord's blessings exceeded our imaginations. He broke down racial walls, denominational barriers were dropped and lowered, and cultural differences became one under the name of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. We'll be reading a lot of scripture today. Hopefully we can bring some life to it and some meaning. And hopefully somewhere in the numerous illustrations we will be able to identify and to connect. But I do think the heart of the message today is that if we want to continue to step forward We need to mirror. We need to see our own selves. If we have any thoughts or intentions to take another step in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then first of all, we must examine ourselves. We must examine, what kind of a teacher am I? Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. That verse breaks down the cultural differences. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2 says, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God forbid that we would boast. Verse 25, we're in Romans 3, verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. This week, or Friday, when we were at the Creation Museum, there was this display where Adam and Eve have sinned. But there were two dead animals laying there. And the skins were gone. And those skins were used to clothe them. But it cost the life of those two animals in order to cover their sins. Verse 26. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? No, but the law of faith. If we reach out into the city and it's a work of righteousness, it's useless. But when the Spirit of God is within us, the blessings exceed our imaginations. And the walls can come down and the barriers can be broken. There is no difference. But everyone has sinned. Everyone has fallen short from the glory of God. We saw that at the Creation Museum. God created and designed a perfect world. It was perfect. It was without sin, and man had a relationship and a connection that was continuous. And it was free. And the power of God was there. But as we heard today, we're not in a perfect world. And because of the sin of man, there's many religions. Because of the sin of man and pride and self and arrogance, there's many denominations. In Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Abram was a man of faith. You can turn to Matthew 21. In Matthew 20, Jesus is telling them that the greatest will be the least, and that the least will be the greatest. But then he goes on into Matthew 21, 1 through 11. I'm just going to read some of that. Matthew 21, starting in verse 1. It talks about how Jesus And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, and unto the Mount of Olives, and then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find a donkey tied, and a colt like a baby donkey. And you shall loose them and bring them over. Verse 3, And if any man say aught unto you or wants to stop you, go ahead, just bring it on anyway. Tell him the Master and the Lord sent you over here. And all that was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell your daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon a donkey. And a colt means a foal of a mama donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And he brought the donkey. And maybe I'll just continue on and kind of describe the story. But Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and he rode in Jerusalem on a donkey. Now let's imagine this morning what would happen if Jesus would ride into Trail, Ohio. If Jesus would come to Faith Christian Fellowship this morning, what would that look like? I'll just let your imagination go on that one. But in verse 12, And Jesus went into the temple and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. I consider demonstrating that this morning, but if you can just allow your imagination to go, he rode in on a donkey. He entered the temple, and he started chasing the people out. He started throwing the tables over, the seats and the chairs, and turning the animals loose and chasing them out. And said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So here we have an illustration where Jesus clears the temple. But in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, the scripture says, Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in who? Or what? In you. So this morning I would like for us to imagine that we are the temple of God. I would like you to imagine that you're the temple of God this morning. And we can take this illustration and we can kind of have the picture that what about the church building this morning. But let's make it personal this morning. And if you are the temple of a living God and God comes inside of your mind and in your heart, what will he find? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17 says, If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you? So if God would come into your temple this morning, what would he find? Would he find a meek and quiet spirit? Would he find humility? Would he discover that all your sins have been confessed? Or would he discover that most of your sins were not confessed? Maybe some of your sins were confessed. Maybe some of the things in your heart and your mind that you and I accumulate, maybe they're still there. If we have any thoughts and considerations of continuing to sow the seed among the nations, and if we are volunteering to be a servant, to go forth into harvest, We do well to consider and to examine our own lives, which we'll get to some more scriptures in light of that. But if we continue to read in Matthew 21, verse 14 and 15, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. But here we have a picture where Jesus came into the temple and he drove out all the evil and the wickedness, the pride, the self, the people that were trying to gain in their earthly. They were trying to have earthly gain, money. But what was left? It were priests and scribes that were not happy and a bunch of children. There were a lot of children left. They were crying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, let's look at what happens next. After Jesus cleared the temple, the children were praising him. Verse 18, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he was hungry. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it. And he found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. So Jesus was hungry. He came to a fig tree, and what was there? Leaves. He was disappointed. He was disappointed in the fig tree. It had its leaves wagging in the wind. It looked like a tree. Is it possible that we look like a fig tree, but there's no figs? Is it possible that Jesus would come and identify us as a fig tree? Or maybe everyone thinks we're a fig tree, but there's no fruit. So Jesus cursed the fig tree and its leaves withered up, and it never bore any fruit. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered? In other words, it withered very quickly. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 32. Here we find the context of breaking bread. And remembering Jesus' body and his sufferings. In verse 28, but let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So this morning, we're obviously churchgoers. We obviously assemble together. If you're here this morning, you go to church. If you're here this morning, you probably identify with the word Christian. You associate with the believers. But we do well to examine ourselves. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Like the fig tree, the leaves withered. Not discerning the Lord's body. Not remembering that we are the temple of a living God. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many are asleep. They're snoozing. It's time to wake up. There's a harvest. There's a kingdom. That's not our own kingdom. There's a harvest and there's a kingdom and there's a work to be done. But if the temple is clogged and full of our own flesh and our own self, then the kingdom will wither up. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Some men send their sins to judgment beforehand. Other men, their sins will follow them to judgment. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Will we judge ourselves? Will we send our sins to judgment beforehand, before it's too late? Or at the end, will we be condemned and thrown and destroyed and disposed of with the world? Many are snoozing. It's so easy in the morning to hit the snooze button and rush into work late. And oh my, I hit the snooze. I hit the snooze button. I was late for work. But there's a day coming when hitting the snooze button is no excuse. Because today is the day of salvation. Today is your opportunity and my opportunity to clear the temple. Are we going to take that opportunity? May the Spirit of God move within our minds and our hearts today. Are we worthy to be called a laborer in the kingdom? I know our life and our works and our actions portray that we're just to serve as a laborer, surely. But what if Jesus Christ comes into the temple? What if he comes into my temple and your temple? What will he find? Will he find a mind that is yielded and broken to his guiding hand? Or will he find one that's full of the world's allures and the world's garbage? Matthew 21, verse 28. Sorry, Matthew 21, 28 through 31. But what think ye? A certain man that had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second son and said likewise. And he answered and said, I'll go, sir. But he went not. Which one do we identify with? Are we the one that's saying, Lord, here am I. I'll go. But nothing happens. Are we saying, Lord, here am I? But we have no faith. We don't trust Him to lead the way. Or maybe we're the one that says, can't go. I can't do your will, God. We feel God desiring to lead and direct the path of our journey, but we buck against it. But afterward, we repent and we turn away from our own self and we yield our life to Him. So in return, He can come in and He can take our life and use it to bring honor and glory to Himself, but also to be a light and a testimony to those around us. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lost its savor, how will it get salted? To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Peace and life. I'm going to read a verse in Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. In closing, I'm going to read some verses in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, 38 through 43. Examine yourselves. I'll start in verse 37. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. So at the end of the world, we will be gathered together. 41. The Son of Man shall send forth angels, and they shall gather out His kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Am I a fig tree with only leaves? Or am I a fig tree that's bearing fruit? May God bless you.